It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at KNTRTalk.com and the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
The police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's the poster child for no cloning.
Paul LaVoy!
And welcome to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm the host of Speak Out, Paul LaVoy, along with our host for the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Of course, it's Dan DeLaSantos.
Thank you, Paul. And today, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about today's show. We have a fairly large number of guests. Speakers today. So they're all involved with the Kids on the Colorado River program, hosted by several agencies, including the Thunderbolt Middle School. We have the principal with us. So I'm really excited to be able to introduce a few folks that we have. So we have Gordy Hall, the principal, and one of our next speakers will be Landon Musselman. And so, Landon, what's your position with the school beyond the class?
Sergeant at Arms in the Student Council.
Whoa. Wow, okay.
Did you get elected for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's an elected position on the Student Council.
It is.
We have a politician here.
And so, you know, he's been hearing a lot about, you know, the program. We've already had 50 kids come through this project. And, Gordy, you know, those 50 kids, how do you think everything went?
I mean, I think it was great. We did a pilot run this year to, you know, kind of see how it went, kind of get those kinks out of the way. And I'm really excited that, you know, for the opportunity to possibly provide this to all of our seventh graders next year and hopefully moving forward year after year.
So our guests, our listeners are probably asking, well, what are we providing? Let's tell them a little bit about why we have the program and what it's going to do for the kids going forward.
So, you know, I was born and raised here in Lake Havasu, came back to town, and just growing up, I never really got out on the lake. My parents really didn't own a boat. I didn't really get out there much. I didn't really know what was really out there. So, you know, moved away, started a program in Texas that involved a river out there, got kids on the river, came back here and just realized, man, we got a great resource in our backyard, and to be able to teach students about that and how to use that, how to get information from that, how to be safe, and just there's so much that we can learn from just going out there and looking at different things. And I feel strongly that you know, it's like an outdoor classroom. You know, there's a lot to learn out there.
That's a great way to describe it. You know, growing up here as a Havasu Pioneer, we grew up knowing so much about the Colorado River, but when the weekends got full, people worked during the weekday. A lot of them started selling their boats. They weren't going out on the weekends. So about 20-plus years ago, we started to see a diminishment of our local community going out in the lake and participating. So then all of a sudden, we started looking at the community. And, you know, when we've had somebody that did the poll where we had approximately in a class of 35, we had about 2 to 3 children that raised their hand and said, yeah, I've been on the lake. And that was appalling. Now imagine there's 427 kids in the 7th grade. Now multiply that times 12 grades. The numbers are staggering. So that's when we all, showed up to the table and helped put this program together. And, of course, with the pilot just taking off, I think it was a great success. So tell me, what do you know about the program?
I just know that they went on the boat and learned about the, like, cops on there. And, like, safety, and then the other side of the river.
Other side, so that'd be the Shimoevi Reservation, right?
Yes.
Right, California side.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and so there's so much that we're finding that not just the kids but the adults don't know about the river. So by teaching these 50 children, what we ended up with is 50 kids that have more knowledge about the Colorado River than almost any adult in our community. And that's a huge statement, really big, and I'm so excited to help be a part of all of that. And so when I think about the kids getting that education and being able to be ambassadors for our tourism, as well as economic development perspectives where they potentially are now going to become that 35-year-old age group that our community needs to go back to, we're at a 55 age group right now. We need to get back to that 35. So now all of a sudden these are our kids coming back and being part of the community. So what do you think, if you were going to explain this to somebody, what do you think the best way to describe a class like this to someone is?
Well, basically you just tried to, like, you had to sign up for it, so it's not like something you had to take, but it's just learning about, like, Havasu, kind of, because the lake is, like, one of the main parts of Havasu.
True, true. And so it's part of our, so we have our community, right? We have our town. But the river is really at least another 50% of why many people live here, or it certainly is actually part of our community, if you will.
Has Landon actually been through the program?
No, he's
not yet.
Not yet. So, but we have a guest speaker who has actually been through the program with
us
today.
Right.
And also an adult and a teacher who surprisingly came today to tell us not just about her the process and procedure to become one of the participants teaching, but what it meant to her to get that information.
Landon, how old are you?
13.
Have you ever been on a boat on Lake Havasu before?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah. My dad has a boat.
Oh, okay.
I've been on my friend's boat, and I race jet skis.
Well, that's one of the few right there, right?
Yeah, right?
That's one of the few. But that's good that, Dan, I see you're trying to change the culture in this town when it comes to the lake. That's what it looks like. I mean, we have ownership here of a community, but there's a lake that goes along with that community, correct?
So that is correct, and I've got to speak in proper terms. What we have is a group of agencies, leaders that have come together to make this happen. Our sponsors, our agency leaders who are part of that educational process, hands-on from the police department and the sheriff's department, with the Shimoevi Reservation, who has come to our aid with a tremendous amount of information. We've got the Sea Scouts. We've got the BLM. We have Dan Roddy with State Parks. Oh, my gosh, he's been just instrumental in helping us through the entire process.
He has a huge interest in a program like this because, you know, having people that have a hands-on interest in the Lake Havasu State Park means less cleanup for them sometimes. You know, I mean, people are going to have more ownership of a property like that.
Absolutely.
When they go to use it.
Absolutely. And it's the steward, if you will,
yes,
are protecting the lake instead of destroying it. They're educating other individuals how not to throw trash in the lake, how not to be to use excessive speeds, how to be safe on the water. It's a win-win for everyone. We just got done with Memorial Weekend. Now, fortunately, the numbers were low in fatalities, but we had plenty of accidents and plenty of tickets being handed out. And a lot of that is education. It is the lack of education. A lot of people literally will tell you, I didn't know.
Right.
And so while it's really important that we provide citations, I think education needs to come first.
Absolutely. Gordy, did you go through the program?
Yes, I did.
You did.
I actually attended.
What did you learn from the program that you didn't realize that you would learn from the program?
Just the history. Like, I had no clue, you know, the color of the water. Lake Havasu, you know, it's color of the water, you know. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Napoleon's cannons were used to build some of the things that are down there, the columns that are down.
Oh, right, the light posts, right?
Wow, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah. Wow. You know, so there's a lot of information that I learned. And then also, like, you know, having ASU there as a partner to show the science behind different things as well, to have kids get samples of things from our lake to take a look at, or, I mean, river. So it's just a great experience. I wish that I would have had when I went through the district, you know, early on.
Right, absolutely.
So Shimawavy, anybody know what Shimawavy means?
I want to say from the river.
So the Paiutes were actually watching the Indians run toward the water because right. They hadn't seen water in days. And so they were basically saying, by saying the name Shimawavy, it was bird with beak and air, smelling water, running toward the water. That's basically what it means. Wow. And I got to tell you, I learned that from my good friend Daniel Rivas and he, or Matthew Levis over at the Shimawavy Reservation. We had their cultural educator that came over and taught the class. We had their educational director also over. We had children from the Shimawavy Reservation that were also part of this program. So we were very excited to share it with our neighbors across the lake.
So logistically, how did all of this work? And how many people were in the pilot program that you took around for education and took out on the lake and that sort of, logistically, how was it?
Well, so we had, and I'll tell you, I'm going to probably set that back for, let Mike Pearson answer some of those.
Uh-huh.
We all had our role. And Mike really, with Dan, really ramrodded how we got these children of 8 to each pod. Now, it seems like a simple enough task until you've got 50 children running, you know, wild all over, and you've got to congregate them. We have sat through meetings to determine how we're going to actually manage 225 children a day for 2 days.
Yep.
So a total of 450 average.
Well, you'll definitely have the spiel down.
Oh, just
after the third try.
Yep.
Well, and then our job is to take the kids out in the lake. So for those of you who don't know exactly what the program's all about, what we do is we have 15-minute pods that we take the kids, and they go to each one of these pods for approximately 15 minutes and learn something new about each agency and certain segments of the Colorado River. When that's all completed after approximately 2 hours, then we go out to the lake and we put them on a boat and they actually get to go out and experience the lake. For some of them, it's the first time, right,
yep.
Gordy?
Yep, first time. I mean, there were some kids that were on there that had never been out on a tour or even seen parts of the lake that we saw, you know, going through. Again, too, the history and what you're able to take away from being out there is just unbelievable.
We're talking about young people, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah.
That have never been on Lake Havasu before.
In some cases, were born and raised here.
Right, right. I understand.
Yeah. But what's really cool is they get a really cool T-shirt.
And that's free advertising all over town this summer.
And then, of course, they get a certificate that basically says they completed the course.
Right, right.
So we have a lot of sponsors. We're going to be sharing them as we go along through the show. A big shout-out to Anderson and Anderson Ford. For helping us out. The Anderson Group,
Anderson Auto Group. Yeah.
And we have so many other sponsors. Natural Cheese came along, really jumped out, to help us out. But yeah, we had quite a few sponsors. And fortunately, through programs like this, we are starting to see sponsors stepping up to the plate as we, request funds to support the next program in November.
Yep.
That's when we'll do the next one this year, 2022.
Absolutely, yeah. And I need to give a shout-out to the Havasu Community Health Foundation who are listening right now. I guess one of the children or grandchildren of a person that works there is on the show today or going to be on the show today or maybe already on the show today. I don't know. But anyway, are we ready to take a break?
Yeah, we are.
All right, let's take a short break, and I want to remind everybody that the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is brought to you exclusively with our other Speak Out sponsors by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, and they're on the show every month as part of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. You can find the archive as well if you miss any part of this show at KNTRtalk.com. And our phone line is open if you want to participate, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak out in the Pioneers Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. We'll continue. Welcome back to Speak Out, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, samsguns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, and our Havasu Pioneers sponsor, Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And I'm with Dan De Los Santos, and Dan, we actually have a phone call right now. Well, hang on. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, let's find out who we have.
All right. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. Please turn down your radio.
Hello. Hello.
You need to turn down your radio, please.
I'm going to try calling you back. I've got a bad connection here.
No, you got it. We got you.
We can hear you.
Wayne, is that you? All right. He's going to call back.
He's going to call back.
All right. Let's introduce our next guest.
All right. So we have Diana Barquette and Emma Trejo. Is that right?
Trejo.
Okay. Now, Emma, you took the class.
Yes, I did.
Wow. We have a guest speaker. Let's find out if they have a question.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hello, everybody. This is Wayne. How you guys doing?
Wayne from Neat Pools. How are you?
Good. Listen, I just want to make a quick call and say I think this is a really great program. I think everybody should learn about your community, and the more you know about your community, the more you feel a part of it, and hopefully you'll stay an active part of our community. So I just think what you guys are doing is great, and I hope it goes on forever.
Well, thank you. You know, that is truly the inspiration behind the project, with all the agencies and volunteers that are putting it together. So thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
You bet. And I just have one little side note. When I moved to Lake Havasu in 1980, and the first job I had, I worked on a landscaping crew, and I worked on a landscaping crew with a guy named John Hall.
Okay.
And I think that's Gordy's dad.
Oh, it certainly could be.
That was your dad, Gordy Hall's dad. Yeah, he's still in the studio, too.
Oh, okay, shucks. I wanted to get on there before he got off. But, I worked with him for a few years.
Wonderful.
But I think you guys are doing great, and I love this community, and I hope that helps to retain the young folks, just like you said.
All right.
Great. Thanks again for calling.
Thanks, Wayne.
Okay. Thank you. Great show.
All right. Talk to you later. Thank you.
So we're talking with Emma, and Emma, you got to be part of the 50-kid pilot. So we had 50 young adults there taking this class. We had to test the waters, if you will, all the educators. And fortunately, we think it came out okay, but the best way for us to know that is if you can tell us if we did a good job or not.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot of new things that I've never known before, and I've lived here my entire life.
Wow, okay, so how many years?
I'm 14 years old.
Okay, so 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and up to this time in the class, you didn't know as much as you know today, right?
Yes, I did not know as much as I knew.
So who do you think you'd share that information with?
My family, all my friends, everyone that I know that's lived here a long time, that I'm sure they didn't know some of the information.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, later on in life, you know, you become an ambassador of our tourism. You're able to tell people for the rest of your life, if you will, about all the information that you've learned. So now you become that ambassador of our community. And do you think that you'll ever come back home, be part of our workforce here?
Yes, I think that would be really cool to be able to come back and teach new people about it.
Wow, that's, I really like that. And you know, as we do this program every year, as you get older, we'd like to have you come in and volunteer and be part of that educational team that helps create that education.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Awesome. So, Diane. Diana, is that correct?
Diana.
So, you were one of the people involved with putting the program together for us, but you also became a student in the process.
I did, yeah. I was asked to chaperone. I'm a teacher at Thunderbolt Middle School. I teach science, and so it was kind of right up my alley to do something like this with the kids. So, but I was surprised at how much I did not know about the community. I'm recently moved in from California, but my husband's family has had a boat, and we used to come out. I mean, we came out every year for vacation and things like that, so I felt like I knew the river and the lake relatively well and just got really smacked upside the face as to how much I didn't know and how much I learned on the trip as well. So I was just as much a student as my students were.
Wow. You know, that's a big eye-opener for us as the general public, hearing that from a teacher.
Yeah.
So, wow, where the teacher becomes the student. How cool is that?
What was your favorite part of the curriculum? What really stood out? A couple things even.
Well, I mean, just some of the interesting facts about, you know, whether it be the London Bridge or just the buying of the London Bridge and the fact that McCullough just actually was able to do some amazing, you know, entrepreneurial types things so that he did not actually, I mean, actually he came out ahead money-wise, you know, after spending this enormous amount on the bridge, but then yet was able to sell off a lot of the part that, I don't know how many of us know, but the inside of the bridge is actually hollow. And right. So to remove all of that internal part and then be able to sell that off, I mean, he actually made more money than he spent on the bridge, which is just amazing. So that was amazing. But then also learning about the actual the water and the different species that are in the water. We had a group from Arizona State that actually taught the kids about some of the different birds that are around and some of the different terrestrial animals that surround the lake and things like that. So that was really interesting. We also learned from another group, I can't remember who it was, but about the invasive mussels that are there and what it actually physically looks like when they start to come in and, you know, and they just destroy, you know, plumbing or I think we saw a fishing pole that was just surrounded with all. So it gives you a good understanding as to why you should, you know, pull your drain plug, and this is why you should clean your boat and do these kinds of things, because you don't want to bring that kind of thing into our lake, but then also we don't want to take it and give it somewhere else. So I think it helps us to be good stewards of this lake and taking care of it and understanding it and educating those around us so that then they can do the same.
That's fantastic. You know, I think the same thing when I see those inspections over on I-40 as you're going towards the California right. border. You know, it's like the quagga still exists here. That quagga.
Oh, absolutely.
Muscle.
It's not
yeah.
gone away for a while. And
right.
I think that was the Lake Havasu City Marine Association.
Yes.
Which it was a big component of the education for us. And, you know, I always want to give a big shout out to Jillian out at the Lake Havasu City Museum of History. She's so passionate about making sure the kids get that information to take with them. And there is so much history. And I guess she even included our homemade houseboat, that's down in the Lake Havasu City Museum. So you saw a couple of pictures of it, Emma. What did you think of that? That a bunch of kids in high school built that thing.
It was crazy to me to like think that people my age could build such a thing at like where I'm at right now.
That would be the big and crooked?
That would be the big and crooked.
That's funny.
And, you know, as I look at the photo of us kids building it, really, we were just your age. It's like, what are they doing? And McCulloch gave us a private cove, and we got to keep it out at Site 6 for about 10 years. Maury Bruner was a big component of that as well. He was the property manager for.
Is this still something we can see at the museum?
Yeah. Fortunately, the model is a scale model. It lights up. It does the whole thing. When you look at it, it is actually what it really looked like. So there was, and of course, there's all kinds of wonderful stories that go along with it.
And you know that vessel is legendary, right? I'm hearing about it from people as I go here. I've been back about 2 years now, a little over 2 years, and people go, oh, yeah, I've heard you on the air with Dan De Los Santos. Tell him, you know, I really enjoyed my time on the Big and Crooked. So that's not exactly what they said, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
That's the gist of it, all right?
It's kind of interesting because when you're part of it, it doesn't seem that big, you know, if you will, but other people seem to think it's really something special.
Absolutely.
So when I'm walking by the museum portion of the program, all these kids are raising their hands and they want to know more about the homemade houseboat and how that happened and how can you do that? And I kept getting called over to answer some of the questions, so that was fun.
So Emma, does your family have a boat?
We do not have a boat.
You do not? Had you ever been out on the lake before?
I have on, like, friends' boats and things, but we've never owned our own boat.
That's just, I lived growing up, I don't know, 30 miles from Lake Mead, and the first thing I ever learned to drive was a boat. So,
right.
Yeah.
7 years old is when I got behind the wheel.
Right.
Of the boat.
I think mine was 12. So, yeah, it just blows my mind that, you know, there's that lack of boating knowledge in a town with a lake the size of Lake Havasu.
In the early 60s, we had small boats with very little horsepower. So it was customary to get up on the bow to bring the bow down while you were trying to pull a skier. There were so many learning curves, if you will, through the boating industry. The thing that didn't come along with that, unfortunately, was a lot of boat safety. Now, Emma, you got to throw some of the throwing devices. And so was it as easy as people thought?
No, it was actually kind of hard to, like, get it to the right target and far enough so that people could actually reach it.
Wow. So, we talk about the pilot, but what we don't talk about is that it was interactive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you got to do in the interactive, so there was throwing the devices, right?
Yes.
What other things did they have you physically doing?
On, like, the sheriff and police boat, they had us, put on the scuba gear that they put on to, like, save things underwater or people.
I've never done that.
Wow. Is that heavy?
Yeah, it was super heavy. I didn't try it on myself, but the girl that did said it was super heavy.
So what about now? There was some water testing, too. I think ASU did some.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about that. What did they had you scooping water up?
Yeah, so we scooped water up from the lake, and we found the little organisms that live in our water under a microscope, and it was super cool to see that.
Wow. Mm. I haven't even done that.
I didn't realize that.
When the next program, I'm going to sit in on one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they showed both the phytoplankton and the zooplankton that were there, and those are both microscopic. Some are plant eater, or they're plants, so they photosynthesize, and then the zooplankton actually are eaters of other things. But, yeah, we got to see both of them under the microscope, and they just got to see them moving around and everything, so they really understood that there's actually living organisms inside the water other than fish and things that you can see with your eye. There are things that are smaller that you can't see without a microscope.
We have a biology teacher in the house.
Yes.
Well, it's
we need to take a break, by the way.
Yep. So, I don't want to say thanks to ASU. They were out there. They were worried that people wouldn't be interested. I think they were actually really interested. So, again, we're here talking about the Kids on the Colorado River Project with my guest speakers, and we'll be right back.
All right, back with more in a moment on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, Sun Power by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake. Don't forget, shop local. The job you save may be your own. And the show's also brought to you, of course, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Dan De Los Santos, we have a repeat guest and a new guest.
We do. We have our principal, Gordy Hall, of the Thunderbolt Middle School, and I have my partner on this project, which is Mike Peters. He has been instrumental. We together have worked together on the project since its conception. And I think together we make a good team. And along with all the other agency leaders that have been a part of it, the core group has been phenomenal to work with. Gordy, what do you think? I mean, we've got a pretty good group, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the community coming together to put this together has been unbelievable. You know, that's one of the reasons why I came back to this town, being born here. It's just being part of a community, everybody caring, you know, for what's here and just making sure that we're doing what's best for kids. That's the goal. So all of us coming together to do that, I appreciate all of you in coming together to make this happen for
so
our students.
As an educator, now we all really love the fact that we're providing this information to these kids so they'll have it to go forward. But as an educator, does this feel like a true educational or a class environment that you might project in a classroom or that would be accepted by your, you know, our peers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the things that were covered, you know, that's important to me, you know, the curriculum as well, making sure that things are covered that need to be covered for students. That's really important whenever you look into a field trip. And, you know, seeing the science behind this, seeing the history that goes with it is just, I mean, you talk about hands-on and getting out there and seeing what is here in our backyard, you know, like I said earlier, and just learning from that, you know, outdoor classroom. Getting kids out there and doing as much hands-on as possible so that they can take away, you know, and learn from that.
So, Mike, you know, Paul had a couple questions in regards to the logistics and the number of people that we have involved with the program, including the kids. You know, how many people do you think overall we had? I mean, 100? I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, we had, along with the kids, we had about 80 people that included the, like, 44 or 46 kids we had. So we had it twice as much, and I know that because I had to supply all the Levita Dolce supplied the lunches, and so I needed 80 lunches, and they got them for us. And so, and there was not one lunch left. And I think some of the kids got some seconds too. We're going to work on that too next time. Gordy, he'll give you some feedback on what the kids were saying on the bus on the way home. But the logistics was tough when we first got out of it, and that's why we did the pilot. We wanted to see what we could do with 50 kids and how it was going to be to organize them and all that. And we had normal things happen. You know, it was kind of windy that day. So we had to move the sheriff and the police boats over to the channel, which was fine. I like that area over there. And it worked out fine. But it just made us start to think about, you know, how are we going to organize these kids when they get off the bus? You know, what are we going to say to them? What kind of sounds are we going to, you know, break each pod into? Do we need something more, like maybe a big major tent in front that has nice information so when a kid gets lost, hey, where am I? Okay, I look at your, what color are you on your lanyard? Oh, you're green. You should be over at Station 7 right now. Okay, and then they go off because with 50 kids, we could keep track of them. With 250, mm-hmm. it's going to be a crazy deal. So we want to be really organized when we get there. The other nice thing is that the people, the agencies that were out there were very helpful, not only in, like, keeping the kids engaged, but also on helping, like, point them in the right directions and all that. So we're going to have to definitely have a lot more meetings about that kind of stuff. And then also one more thing, we had a, you know, other agencies now that we've been in the newspaper and we've been on the radio now. Now we have other agencies saying, hey, I want to be part of that, you know, the fishing club, you know, Bill Williams Project. We want people like that part of this project because we may not have 15 minutes for you in a segment because we have a lot of people set up right now, but we're going to have a big tent and we're going to have people inside that tent, and kids wanted more information after we got done. They're coming up and asking me, well, what about this? What about that? And so it would be nice to be able to point them to the authorities on those kind of things because they're what we barely scratched the surface on the information we gave these kids, but we had to kind of like temper it a little bit because, you know, brain overload.
A very good point. That's why we kept those pods down to 15-minute max in between each educational moment, because the clock restarts every time you move on to the next pod and the next 15 minutes. I think it's really important for people to know that this is the beginning stages of a much bigger plan. So what that means is we're providing them with all the general information. What happens next is probably the thing that that'll be our next challenge. So we're reaching out to the fishing clubs We're reaching out to the kayak clubs. We're reaching out to various recreational opportunities for the kids to experience after this program. So if you are in charge of a group, if you have a fishing club, if you have a kayak group that is able to work with kids, swimming class would be a very big deal.
We've got a listener asking by text, if somebody has a boat, is there a way they can volunteer to help out with this program?
So our photographers and videographers would really, that's where we could use the help. We are going to be working with Blue Water Tours, who, that each, their boat can handle up to 48 individuals. We're trying to communicate with London Bridge Tours. They have another boat that can handle approximately the same number of kids. So the challenge for us is to get 250 children on a boat each day, which is a daunting task. We also want the same message being shared. So our speakers, the audible message that's going to be shared during those trips needs to be in line with the way the rest of the educational program works.
But these people who are asking to lend their boat, there is specifics that we need. You need to be Coast Guard certified. And so that's really the whole thing. And you need to have all kinds of insurances to be able to have kids on your boat. So as much as we want to enjoy smaller boats, taking kids out to different places and all that kind of stuff.
There's that liability.
Huge liability. Right. But can you help us? Oh, my gosh, absolutely. We have 250 kids 2 days in a row. We need volunteers, huge amount of volunteers. And I kind of am here from the business community. I have a construction company here in town, so I have employees. And all I know is that when I get an employee that knows about this town, they're an asset to me, you know, because they're an asset. They answer a lot of questions for my customers who may not be from this town. And I can just imagine the rest of the employers in this city having an educated workforce. What that does for their business.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it makes it easy to hire great people.
So, Gordy, I wanted to ask you, from an educator standpoint, we talked a little bit about that, but with kids, you know, being engaged in their electronics all day and that, and when you get them away from that, is it tough to reach them through a program like this, or was it interactive enough to where they got through?
No, I think interactive, hands-on, you know what I mean, when they see, too, how it relates to them, you know what I mean, if it interests them, you know what I mean? Things that they can see how it affects them. I mean, they're totally engaged.
You could see the engagement.
Yeah.
They weren't walking. They were running to the next spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, that's
that
cool.
Really tells you a lot. The hands in the air, the questions, that interaction, that spells volumes to their interest. And so, you know, we have, you know, a lot to be thankful for that this pilot went off as well as it did. When we talk about volunteers, we need general volunteers, but there's also the escorts, if you will, for the kids. What are their requirements, Gordy?
So we do require IVP fingerprint card. So you just head over to the district office, you know, let them know that you're looking to get a fingerprint card, volunteer, and then they can help you there with getting fingerprinted and then obviously volunteering.
So Dan, how much volunteer time are we asking for from
volunteers? 2 days, I would say 4 hours. 2 days, 4 hours each day, minimum.
Oh, okay.
You know, we'd like more, but 4 hours would be a big help in the middle of it. Mike, what's your thoughts
on
that?
Yeah, I'm thinking of that, too. I mean, it's just a daunting task to try and get 450 T-shirts handed out. Mm-hmm. The snack stands set up, because we're going to have a lot more snack stands. It was funny, Gordy had given me some feedback on the kids on the way back, and their biggest thing was, we love the sheriff boat, but we need more food.
Right.
Right. I had lunch from La Vida Dolce, which was awesome. But these are grown kids, man.
The thing is, when we talk about the sheriff's boat, you got to understand what's cool about the sheriff's and the police boat. They got the sirens going. They got the lights going. I mean, it was a show.
It was
and
a show.
They hit the siren. I mean, it was just amazing.
So, but when it comes to bringing in volunteers, just remember well-defined duties. You need to know exactly where they're going and exactly what they're doing.
Yeah,
we're going to share our website here in a second. But the one thing that I need to make sure that our audience is listening to from us is that now we are getting ready to embark on the next huge first launch of this program for these 450 kids, which is going to be a daunting, expensive task. And while I don't have all the numbers compiled, I can tell you we're over $20,000 and we're looking for sponsorship, financial sponsorship. We've already been asked to do some presentations at some of the Rotary groups. We're looking for more. We're looking for organizations that might have some funding that's available for programs like this for kids. We are a 501c3 organization working with a K-12.
K-12 Foundation, which is actually Gordy's mom, Monica Hall. I met her, and she's been instrumental in this town for years. And the K-12 Foundation specifically focuses on kids in this community and the teachers, and they do a great job. So any donations that we take, we make them out to K-12. They handle all of our bill paying. So it's kind of out of our hands right now. We may change that in the future, next coming years, but they've just been awesome.
And so we have a website if you're interested in having us do a presentation for your group. What's our website?
It's kidsonthecoloradoriver, .org.
And so, and if you prefer to make a call, you can reach me, Dan DeLosantos, at 928-706-4469.
Mike Peters at 928-889-1140, 889-1140. And then you can always stop by my office.
That's Blue Sky Design and Build.
Blue Sky Design and Build. We're a couple doors up from Havasu Hardware. It's 2093 McCulloch Boulevard. And we've got information in there as well as receipts for donations, all that kind of stuff.
And so I want to kind of leave our listeners with this thought. Came from Tammy Ersenbaugh, Director of Mojave County Economic Development and Tourism. As we got ready to figure out how things went with the pilot, and we all got together, you know, one of the things that we plan to do is bring on some high school students to be part of that educational process. But what Tammy suggested to us, which I think we're going to take hold of, is to create a model, if you will, and be able to offer that to different communities around the country so that it can be tailor fit to whatever their needs are. Maybe it's a river. Maybe it's a lake. Maybe it's a walking path. Maybe it's a historical element of their community that this can work for. So know that if you have a community that feels that they might have a need for something like this with a different topic in mind, we'll have that available as early as this next year.
All right, perfect. Yeah, did you want to go on with it? We have a couple minutes.
Hey, you know, Mike, you're up, buddy.
Well, I just when I came here, I just wanted to help the community. There's a lot of things I was trying to do, but when I started talking to the people that were working for me, I could see there was a huge gap. You know, I mean, they had no idea what this river was, and I've been on it my entire life. Slept on it, skied on it, swam in it, drank on it. But we've had a great time, and I've brought my kids up on this lake. And I can just tell you, sitting down in a boat at sunset, talking to my kids in a rainstorm because we can't get out of the boat yet or whatever, I mean, it's just, it was life-changing for them, too. I mean, they tell you how much fun they had fishing in this lake and swimming and doing all the things we do. And still today, we were here on Memorial Day. We were out on the lake. So I just wanted to try and get the kids involved with that because I want to help the community grow. And the only way to grow is from within. And our kids need this kind of information to make us better.
You know, we don't camp on the water like we used to, but as a young boy, 13 years old, as a matter of fact, we came here, our whole family would be here for an entire week. We'd have the lean-tos, we'd have the cots. We had the pump-up gas stove and the lantern. Bunch of ice chests filled with all kinds of beverages and food. And every day we're running back and forth for fuel and ice. And all we did was play in the water and water ski all day long.
All day.
And so hopefully through this process, we'll see that maybe a little bit rekindled so some families can get back out and recreate like we used to on the water.
Sure.
We have a tremendous amount of campsites, by the way, on our river. And they're all, most all of them are maintained, especially the Arizona side, California side as well. So, and again, if you have any ideas about, supportive, organizations or funding, please don't hesitate to contact us. We're very open-minded.
I just want to remind people too, if you're going to pack it in, pack it out.
Good point. Very good, Paul.
Keep that lake clean, that shoreline especially.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, guys. Thank you for being here, Gordy Hall.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mike Peters from Blue Sky Design and Build. It's a volunteer effort in this community. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is an amazing program to be proud of, for sure.
Dan and I will return in a moment. You're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Made of finest silver from the north of Spain. A locket that bears the name of a man that Brandy loved. It came
cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out, the end of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. I'm Paul Lavoie. Dan De Los Santos just walked out the door on me, so I'm kind of on my own here, right? Let's see. On tomorrow's show, we will have Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. I'm assured Brian will be back for tomorrow's show. And on Friday, State Senator Sonny Borelli and Senate Majority Whip Sonny Borelli will be on the show with Sam Scarmardo from samsguns.com. And I'll have to confirm with Sonny, but I had like a 90% that he will be on the show. And then, let's see, just thanks to all of the guests. We had Landon Musselman, Gordy Hall, Diana Barquette, Emma Trejo, and Mike Peters on the show today for the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show and the Kids on the Colorado segment. And the next Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, Dan wanted me to remind you, is July 6th. That's the first Wednesday in July, is July 6th. So we'll be back with another interesting guest, and you can always find out what's going on with the show or the episodes or all things Havasu Pioneers on the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page. So check that out if you're on Facebook. And it's a very active Facebook page, by the way, with a lot of your friends on there from that are Havasu Pioneers and their families. All right, Hannity is coming up next following news and a short break. We'll be back tomorrow on Speak Out.
I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.